Hello again, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today. Thank you for honoring your Lord and disciplining yourself to study His Word and obey Him. And the Lord will not let you go unrewarded for that. The Lord rewards those, and He honors those that honor His Word. You can look through all the Scripture, and all through Scripture you can see where God honors people that honor His Word. And people that do not honor His Word, you can see some different stuff going on there also. But thank you and welcome. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we are on study number 19D. This is the fifth study in the letter S in the ABC series, and we're studying about the soul. The soul and what the Bible has to say about the soul, what it says about the soul. Not what we think it says, but we read the Scriptures and compare Scripture with Scripture, and just take God's Word in context as it speaks to us, and as God the Holy Ghost teaches us. We don't add anything to it, or have to take anything away from it. We take it as it speaks, and as it says. The Bible says that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. If God has authored His Word and had it compiled, God had His Word compiled as He wanted, and He says it liveth and it's going to abide forever. It's going to be around forever. And it also says that His Word liveth. Liveth. Another thing that we heard that liveth was when God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. That word liveth, a man liveth, we understand that. Well, why is it so hard to understand that God's Word liveth and abideth forever? There's no mystery to that. We know what the word live means. And God can make words live. And if you have anything to do, well, make His words live. His words live. Any words that are part of a living God, a supernatural being, are alive. And they are powerful. And if you know anything about the Word of God and been around the Word of God, and perhaps you've even discovered that since we've been talking about the soul and been reading these and been having our classes, we've had 8 classes so far in this. This will be the 9th beginning today. But just going over the ABCs of Christian growth in any of the studies, as you go over them and you read the Scriptures, you see the power in them. And you know the power in them, because when you read God's Word, it works in you. It works in you. God's Word knows you. And it knows what's the matter with you. And it knows what's good about you. It knows everything about you. And it does not hold back from telling you if you read it honestly. And if you agree with it, it corrects things for you. But if you deny it and call it a liar and change it and adjust it and all that sort of business, God does just what He does did to the children of Israel. He blinds them. And He blinds the Word of God. And He won't let you find anything out in the Word of God. He'll let the Word of God destroy you. Yeah. God's Word is alive. So we go back into it today. This is our 9th class that we're having concerning the soul, and our last class we begin a part of our study entitled A Soul in Relation to God and His Word, just talking about soul and what the Bible has to say about a soul, but particularly in this part in relation to God and His Word. And what have we found out so far? Well, we've been over 20 different things so far. A soul can seek God. Remember that? A soul can love the Lord. It also says, the Bible taught us in the Scripture, that a soul can serve the Lord. And we didn't make that up. We read it. A soul can magnify the Lord. It says the souls of parents and children can obey God's voice. the souls of parents and children. So parents and children have souls. And we read that in our preliminary studies about a man being a tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body. A soul can turn unto the Lord. A soul can be poured out before the Lord. A soul can walk before the Lord in truth. A soul can make a covenant with the Lord. A soul can know what it has said to the Lord. A soul can lift itself up unto the Lord. A soul can choose who and what it worships. A soul can wait for the Lord. Many times in the Scriptures, the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord, and that it is both good and that it's both good to patiently wait on the Lord. And a soul can boast in the Lord, and a soul can desire the Lord to speak to it. I'm sure that you can testify to that yourself. I can. I know that my soul has wanted God to speak to me and to be close to me and to just, sometimes you just want Him sitting right beside you. Lord, just, I wish You were sitting right here beside me. But the thing about it is He's closer than that. He indwells us. He's in us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. A soul can pant and thirst after God. A soul can trust in God. A soul can bow down to the Lord. A soul can follow after the Lord. And the last one that we did, our last lesson, was that a soul can know what God has done for it and be comforted. And be comforted. Today we're going to pick up on the 21st matter or fact, truth, concerning a soul in relation to God and His Word. Beginning with this, a soul can ask God to preserve it. A soul can ask God to preserve it. In Psalm chapter 86 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O Thou my God, save Thy servant that trusteth in Thee." That's not all. A soul can bless the Lord. Psalm chapter 103, verse 22, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." In Psalm chapter 104 and verse 1 and verse 35, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." And then in verse 35, the Bible says, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." A soul can bless the Lord. That's not all. Here's another one. A soul can be affected at God's will. A soul can be affected at God's will. Psalm 106, verse 15. "And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." Remember what we were talking about just a minute ago about God taking His word away? He took it away from Israel. Israel lost it. When they said, "Let His blood be upon us," boy, it sure has been, talking about Christ's blood. And they chose to follow their own righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ. And choosing Christ, some of them did, but Israel as a nation did not. They rejected Christ and crucified Him. And since then, blindness has come over them, and the Lord blinded them on purpose, and they can't see. They couldn't tell you a third grade Bible school class. They couldn't. The priests and the prophets and all that sort of business in the Israel now couldn't teach you a third grade Bible study. They don't know anything. They don't see anything. They're blinded, having to do with the Word of God and the mysteries of the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God. And that's going to continue until the tribulation. until the tribulation, until the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And who's the Gentiles? That's us. That's us. We were Gentiles, and the Lord turned to us and gave us salvation because Israel rejected it to cause them to be jealous. And we're in. And we are the body of Christ. We are born again. We are no longer Gentiles anymore. We are Christians, and we are children of God. We are the body of Christ. And Jew or Gentile, saved, are the body of Christ. They're no longer Jew or Gentile anymore when you're saved. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. So three sorts of people in the Bible, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the born again, the saved. So, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. What are we talking about? How a soul is affected by God and his word. A soul can be affected at God's will. You want to play around and mess around and go against what God says and despise God's word or change it and play around with it and make it say what you want to say and teach the wrong sort of business and wrong things. God will give you a request. He'll make you so stupid about the things of God that he'll make a liar out of you and a fool out of you with his word. And you won't even know what he's doing. He sent leanness into their soul, into their soul. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 10, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, Ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul." Unto the soul. A soul can be affected by God's will. It sure can. And we know that because in the New Testament, that's primarily what we deal with spiritually is our soul, is our soul. What else? Well, a soul can be preserved by the Lord. Does the Bible teach that? Well, in Psalm chapter 97, verse 10, it says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." And the Lord does. You serve the Lord, and the Lord will take up for you. And he's taken up for me. I've seen him take up for me more than several times. I mean, even when I wasn't wishing anything or didn't say anything or didn't ask for anything like that, I've seen the Lord step in and take up for me. And take up for me, and he will for you. Perhaps you shaking your head and saying, "Yes, I know he does," because he is a wonderful Lord and a heavenly Father, and he is Abba, he is Daddy. And he don't tolerate people messing around with us. I mean, they mess around with us, and they harm us, and they hurt us, and they persecute us, and they try us, and all sorts of business like that. But when it comes time, and the Lord's had enough, and he sees where he don't want us treated like that anymore, he steps in, and you know when he steps in. And he takes care of us and protects us. A soul can be preserved by the Lord. Psalm chapter 121 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." And we have that promise from the Lord. No matter what happens, Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, and hath no more that they can do. But fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to both destroy soul and body in hell." Yeah, but God's going to preserve our souls. Our souls are already preserved. We're just as good as in heaven with the door shut. We're just as good as sitting in heaven with the Lord right now. We're part of his body. We're there with him spiritually, in spirit. But we're still in these bodies. But when we leave these bodies, be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And I trust God's word, don't you? I know where I'm going. I'm not scared to take my last breath. Death is how do I want to say it? Death is an entry into and to where we're going. Death is a doorway where we're going. Death is not ceasing to exist for anybody. Death is a doorway for the Christian to his inheritance, to go and be with the Lord. As long as we're in these bodies, we're imprisoned. We're in these bodies, but we give God the praise, and we give these bodies to the Lord, and obey the Holy Ghost, and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and give God the praise as long as we're in the body. And then the Lord preserves our soul all the way to the end, all the way to the end, until we're glorified, until our actual bodies are fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. That's when our salvation will be complete. I mean, we are saved, and there's no question about that, and you're on your way to heaven and couldn't get out of it if you wanted to, and you'd be an idiot to try to get out of it. But you are saved and eternally secure, but your body's not saved. And it, when it is glorified, that's the glorification that the Bible talks about. That's part of our salvation. And we will be completely sinless and not be able to think about sin, imagine sin, or have all these problems that we have, or this body, and all these problems with these bodies that we have to put up with now and tolerate. And let's just don't make any unnecessary problems with our bodies that don't have to be there. Like drugs and alcohol and all that sort of business, messing around with sin and fornicating and getting all these diseases and all this nonsense. You don't have to have all that. I mean, you can live a clean life and should live a clean life and present that body, present your body holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A soul can be preserved by the Lord. What else? Well, a soul can know that God made it. A soul can know that God made it. We've been over several things prior to this in this study that lean toward that truth. Psalm chapter 139 and verse 14, the Bible says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." A soul can know that God made it. Don't you know that God made you? Of course you do. You look at all these scientists and all these doctors and these surgeons, and they do such, you know, the Lord said, nothing shall be withheld from them whenever they ate of that tree. That's why God put them out of the garden, so they couldn't eat of the tree of life, because He knew that intelligence and man was going to get smarter and everything else now, or be able to figure things out. And man knows how to work on bodies and fix human bodies, but he can't make one. He can't make one. He can reproduce, but he can't create one. He can get in there and take stuff out of the body that's bad and put good stuff in it and help it and correct it and fix it and stuff like that. And man's done some things to help people out, yeah, as far as his intelligence and what he's learned and stuff like that. But watching those surgeons and watching all the people that know all that sort of stuff and can help people out, just lets you know that that body, there's something wrong with it. There's something going on with that body. That body was not intended. God didn't make that body to die. He didn't make that body to get problems. He made that body to be perfect, and it would have been perfect and was perfect before the curse. Any surgeon or doctor that's being honest, he'll tell you that that body was made to preserve itself and to take care of itself and to keep itself alive. But after the curse, it can't do that no more, because God said, "Surely you shall die." And every person that's born is set for that cue. Every person that is born and starts out as a babe, comes in the world naked, and grows up and grows old and leaves the world naked. Just like Job said, a soul can know that God made it. And any Christian that's being honest, he would have to say that. He ain't going, any Christian that's worth any kind of weight in his walk with the Lord is never going to confess any nonsense that he came from some stinking ape. He'd never say that. He'd laugh at it. I mean, I remember when we was kids, and so that used to be a joke around the kids. When the kids in the neighborhood get together and everybody start talking about each other. And back then you didn't use cuss words and you didn't use nastiness and filthiness and 14, 12 and 11 year olds trying to fornicate. Never crossed your mind. You just had good old fashioned fun. And everybody standing around and stuff like that. And one kid would look over another one and said, "You look like a monkey." And everybody would laugh. But everybody knew that was a joke and it was nonsense. That's all it was. Was just a joke and nonsense. Nowadays, you got scientists getting a couple hundred thousand a year trying to prove that. Now, you tell me who's gone nuts. Okay. A little 11-year-old girl, an 11-year-old boy knows more than a grown, educated scientist that's telling you you came from an ape and came from a pool of goo. A soul can know that God made it. And little souls do. You got to grow up to be stupid. Yeah. All right, what else? Well, a soul can ask God for help. A soul can ask God for help. Psalm chapter 148 and verse 8 says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, and thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." A soul can ask God for help. You can ask God for help. You can ask God you are a soul. You are a being. That is your being, your soul. You can talk to God and ask God for help. Psalm chapter 142 and verse 7 says, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Bring my soul out of prison. A soul can ask God for help. Psalm chapter 143:11, "Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble." Sounds like something pretty close to what we pray sometimes, isn't it? Bring my soul out of trouble, please, Lord. A soul can ask God for help. A scriptural. We just read that. Are you these people that are saying these things to the Lord are liars? Are either writers are liars? Or either God the Holy Ghost, the one that inspired these words, is a liar? And we know better than all three of them things. The word is true. It's true. Altogether true. What else? Well, a soul can praise the Lord. A soul can praise the Lord. You ever praise the Lord from your soul? From your soul? Sure you have. Sure you have. Psalm chapter 146, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." What else? A soul can be upright. A soul can be upright. And that's what we're commanded to be in the New Testament as Christians and walking around and following our Lord Jesus' commands. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come," what is that to thee? "Follow thou me." And a soul can be upright. You can walk upright. The Lord tells us to. Now, if it wasn't possible, now we do it under God's power and with God's, with God the Holy Ghost, teaching us and changing us. And that's the whole point of sanctification. When you get born again, you start turning into Christ. You start putting on holy and upright things and righteous things. And in God's eyes, you're already completely genuine and purely righteous. Because of Christ's righteousness. But as far as being in the body, that's the practical stuff that we have to do. We have to practice it. because we still have this flesh. And we have to do it on purpose and train our flesh that it don't get what it wants anymore. It's going to obey the Lord. And the Spirit, Jesus said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 10, the Bible says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. Seek his soul. What else? Well, a soul can know that God loves it. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? I love knowing God loves me. I love being overwhelmed and knowing and realize the realization that God loves me. There's so many lies in this world and so much lying and deceiving going on in this world concerning love. It is refreshing when the Lord sprinkles a little extra on you and says, just to let you know, I love you. I love you. Has that ever happened to you? Sure it has. There's been times that the Lord has done very kind things for you and unexpectedly. And you have to turn to Him and say, thank you, Lord. I love you. He says, I love you too. A soul can know that God loves it. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 18. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know, the Bible says that for God so loved the world, past tense, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That shows God's love corporately for the world, that he wanted everybody to be saved, and he showed his love. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wasn't even attempting to get better or do good or anything like that, and Christ came and died for us in spite of our wickedness and our uncleanness and our ungodliness and just unholiness. Christ came and died for us. Yeah, said for a good man some people would die, and even for a righteous man some people would die, but Christ died while we are dead in darkness and sin and didn't care. Christ died. A soul can know that God loves it. And you should let that happen. You should let yourself and let your soul know that God loves you. Because in this world, and us living in this world and living in this body, the times of that kind of thing are far few and in between. Not because of the Lord, but because of all the wickedness and the ungodliness and the filth that's in this world that we constantly have to battle. Battle, battle, battle. I don't want to say it's the Lord loves us, but and a soul can know that, but it comes when the Lord knows that we need it. And I mean, it ain't the same every day. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the Lord gives that to us whenever we need it special and whenever he knows we need it. But a soul can know that God loves it. And isn't it special and encouraging when the Lord validates that to us? We already know it, but when the Lord himself, I mean, it's special to you when somebody walks by just for no reason in the world and says, you know something, I love you. You are a wonderful person, and I appreciate you so much. And just says all the kindest things to you out of the blue from nowhere. And you know it's genuine. You know it was not earned. You know it was coming from their heart. And you can know that. And a soul can know that God loves it. What else? Well, a soul's desire can be to God's name. The Bible says that some of our brothers and sisters suffer for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus, His name. A soul's desire can be to God's name. We can desire Jesus and His name, and our desire can be to God's name. Isaiah 26 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." Makes good sense, doesn't it? As we serve the Lord, that is indeed a genuine desire of a Christian, is to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to be, the desire of our soul is to His name and to the remembrance of Him, remembering Him. Matter of fact, we have an ordinance for that reason. The Lord's table. Communion, the fruit of the vine, and the bread. And the purpose of that is to remember the Lord's death by the symbolic shed blood and broken body. It's to remember Him and His name and remember His death. What else? Well, a soul can desire, we can desire God Himself. A soul can be protected by the Lord. The Lord can protect our souls, and does, and we know that. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 29 says, "Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall, be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies shall them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling." A soul can be protected by the Lord. I know the Lord's protected my soul, don't you? He saved us, first of all, and give us eternal life. That's a protected soul right there. "Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Wow! How's that for protection? Psalm chapter 72 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight." Wow. I'm glad we got a man just to be saved, that the Lord shall redeem our soul from deceit and violence. What an honor. What a relief. Could you imagine being saved from all deceit and all violence? Man running around hollering, "Peace, peace, 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 peace," and he ain't doing diddly squat about deceit and violence. Deceit and violence is a product. It's merchandise. Man don't care about peace unless it makes money. That's not Jesus Christ's peace that He's going to bring in, though. When He brings in peace, He's going to start it with a rod of iron. That's the Jesus of our Bible. That's the Jesus that we serve. A soul can be protected by the Lord. And I'm glad the Lord protects us, don't you? Keep trusting Him, no matter what you're going through. Keep trusting Him. The devil's always telling us, "Oh, you don't really trust the Lord. You just think you trust Him. You're just saying it. It's just words. You don't trust Him in your heart." What a stinking liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus said He is such a liar that there's no truth in Him. The Lord said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's a command. You claim that. When you hear the devil yapping at you and the unclean spirits talking to you, say, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you, Lord, and I submit to you and I resist you, devils and unclean spirits. You have to flee. That's God's word. And watch what happens. Yeah. That's real. Or why would the Lord bring it up? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. When you resist him, he'll flee from you. It's just like when a little boy and his dad are standing out there and somebody drives up in the yard and gets out and the man gets out and the boy's standing between his dad and that man that's getting out of the car and that boy looks at that man and that man looks scary. What's that boy do? He turns around and runs and gets behind daddy's leg and lets daddy deal with it. And then daddy says, get back in your car and get gone. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What else? Well, a soul can commit the keeping of itself to God. And that's what we should do. Trust God with your soul. Trust him with your soul. You're saved. You belong with him. God says, we already studied that. God says all souls are mine. But you're more than just his. You're family. You're one of his young'uns. Your soul is special to him. A soul can commit the keeping of itself to God. Jesus said something like that on the cross. I commit my spirit unto you, is what he said. Psalm chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? A soul can commit the keeping of itself to God. And you should. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. That's what I was telling you a minute ago. No matter what you're going through, don't quit. God is faithful. Commit the keeping of your soul unto him and keep doing good. No matter what you're suffering right now. I know some of you are suffering. Some of you are suffering pretty bad. But suffer according to the will of God. How? By committing and keeping of your soul to him in well-doing. Be faithful to him. Don't quit. Don't quit. As unto a faithful Creator. My God is faithful and he ain't going to let me down. He knows what I'm going through. He knows the suffering I'm going through. He knows exactly what's happening with me. He knows why it happened. And he's in charge of it. And I can trust him. He is a faithful Creator. And I know the Lord will bring me through. And he will. He will, brothers and sisters. He'll bring you through. He'll bring you through. You'll be looking back at that thing and you'll be saying, I'm glad I stuck with the Lord. I'm glad I stuck with the Lord. And I didn't compromise or I didn't give in or I didn't quit. Just be faithful. Be faithful. What else? Well, a soul can receive counsel. Not only can a soul commit the keeping of itself to God, but it can receive counsel. Psalm chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? A soul can take counsel. It can be counseled. A soul can receive counsel. You cannot. The Lord talked about the difference in hearing with the ear and hearing with the heart. A lot of people listen, but they don't hear. There's a difference. What else? Well, a soul can desire not to be in company with sinners and the wicked. Yeah. It's going to be some hard stuff for some of you. Because some of you are out there running around with people that you're not supposed to be running around with. And they are a bad influence on your Christian walk and your testimony. And you ought to vacate the premises and separate yourself unto God and away from wickedness. A soul can desire not to be in the company with sinners and the wicked. And you are supposed to have that desire in you. God the Holy Ghost not only leads you to be around brothers and sisters that love the Lord and serve the Lord like you do, and be faithful to Him, but God the Holy Ghost also leads you to separate yourself from ungodliness, and not only ungodly and wicked people and God-haters, but to separate yourself from some brethren that are not walking upright. But there's a difference in the way that you think about them than you do the ungodly. But you still separate from them. That's what the Bible says. Now, you can agree with it or not agree with it, whatever you want to do, but that's what it says. A soul can desire not to be in the company with sinners and the wicked. And if any sincere Christian is trying to walk upright, he has no comfort hanging around with ungodly sinners and wicked that could care less about the things of God and God Himself. You cannot be comfortable around that. Psalm chapter 26 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men." The Bible says in Psalm chapter 74 and verse 19, "Oh, deliver not my soul of thy turtle dove, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever." Psalm chapter 120 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace." Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Don't get any plainer than that, does it? Psalm chapter 23 and verse 3, the Bible says, "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Not wickedness and ungodliness, righteousness for his name's sake. God don't lead you to go out and be in company with ungodliness and wickedness and devilish things. No, he doesn't. Ever. No, he doesn't. Well, God wants you to go out and win their souls. Well, when you go out there, yes, but you carry a Bible with you and you talk about the things of God and see how long they want your company after that. Yeah. And there's all kind of New Testament scripture having to do with us being separated, and separation is part of the Christian, part of Christian character and part of Christian growth. And after your salvation, it takes effect. And God the Holy Ghost is teaching you that separation. What else? Well, a soul can be restored by the Lord. It can be restored. Aren't you glad of that? Has there ever been a time in your life you was out of fellowship with the Lord and you felt like your soul was just, felt like your soul was just way out in the desert all alone and marooned or whatever you want to call it, just away, so far away from the Lord that there was no way for you to restore yourself. And the Lord was waiting on you to start thinking right. And then finally, a soul can be restored by the Lord. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 3, the Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yeah, God does restore our soul. He restores our fellowship. I mean, your soul's going to be miserable when you're out of fellowship with the Lord. Your body, you know, most of the time when you're out of fellowship with the Lord, it's your soul that's out of fellowship, and you're not walking in the Spirit or listening to the Holy Spirit and God the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit. So your body has control, and you're having to cater to that body, whatever it might be, to make sure that you can keep a smiley face. Whether it be alcohol or drugs or fornication or adultery or thieving or stealing or money or idolatry or whatever it might be. That's how that flesh keeps itself all souped up so God doesn't affect it and get in there and take over and stuff like that. But God restoreth our soul and get us back in fellowship help our soul take back charge. Amen? All right, well, here's a couple more. A soul, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about a soul in relation to God and His Word. It's good stuff, isn't it? As you know, a soul had all that many different sorts of things in relation to God and His Word. A soul can reign with Christ. Do you know the Bible says that we're going to reign with Christ if we suffer with Him? I mean, you're going to be with Him regardless, but if you want to reign with Him and you want to be positionally in His hierarchy, or reigning with Him is what the Bible says, then you're going to have to suffer with Him. You're going to have to go through what you have to go through to walk the right walk. Revelation chapter 20, and let me see if I can find that. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, the Bible says, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded did you get that? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and in their hands, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Of course, these are martyrs that come out of the tribulation that were faithful to the Lord, and you are already with the Lord. You're part of the body of Christ. These people are not part of the body of Christ. These are saints that come out of the tribulation period, both Gentiles and Jews, and they are killed during the tribulation because they will not concede to the Antichrist. So they're murdered. They're killed. But they reign with Christ because of their suffering. And in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the body of Christ, that even being in the body of Christ and the bride, which we are right now in this dispensation, in this age, before the rapture, you suffer with Christ and do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and you will reign with Him also. You will reign with Him also. A soul can reign with Christ. Here's another one. A soul can feel that God has cast it off and hiding from it. We just got through talking about that, remember? Psalm chapter 88 and verse 14, the Bible says, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? You ever felt like that? Every person that has anything to do with the Lord has felt like that. And especially if you're trying to serve Him you have enemies that are always trying to put that on you. That God has cast you off, and that He's hiding His face from you, and He's not going to listen to you. He's not listening to you, and He has nothing to do with you, and He's mad at you, and all sorts of business like that. But a soul can feel that God has cast it off and hiding from it, whether it is or whether it isn't. And most of the time it's not, because God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you might get so full of yourself that you're out there walking around in the flesh and just misbehaving and acting like an ignorant fool as far as a Christian goes, and bringing disgrace to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the body of Christ. And God's not going there. You can bet your Heavenly Father is going to, there's going to be conditions of your conversation with Him then, yes. But most of the time it's going to be Him coming after you with a belt. Yeah, you can believe that. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And not only chasteneth, but scourgeth every son with whom He has to do. Scourge. You know what scourge means? It means to tear your hind up with a whip, with a belt. Beat you black and blue, and you'll know it. But a soul can feel that God has cast it off and hiding from it. And if you're in that kind of condition right now, brothers and sisters, all you have to do is confess your sins and be honest with the Lord. Just tell the Lord as honest as you know how. And not necessarily be sorry for what you've done, but be sorry for what you are. That you're a Christian that's walking around and acting like probably one of the most ungodly people on the planet, that you'd make a stinking wicked man look good. And don't say that a Christian can't be in that condition, because he can. He can. But you shouldn't. You should just make it up in your mind. You're going to live for the Lord, and you're going to take whatever comes to you, and whatever the Lord lets come, and you're going to give God the glory, and you're going to do all you can to be comfortable and walk with the Lord and ask Him for prosperity and help and all that sort of business. But if the Lord chooses different, you give Him the praise anyway, and you know that your soul is safe and it's preserved, and that you got nothing to worry about. Nothing at all. A soul can feel that God has cast it off and is hiding from it. Here's another one. A soul can have its peace removed by the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what. For a Christian, that's probably one of the greatest things that you do not want to happen, is to have your peace removed. Because you out there playing around in the world, the devil has leeway where he can, he's the great accuser. He said, look at him down there. He knows who he is and that he belongs to you, and look at his behavior. I think y'all take his peace away from him. I think y'all let me go take his peace away from him. And God might let that happen. But the Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. And a Christian can live a wicked life. He cannot be wicked. But a Christian is not a sinner. A Christian is a saint that sins. Big difference. Big difference. In a whole complete family. I have a whole complete daddy. Whole different daddy than the world has, than you used to have. You've been adopted into God's family, and God is your father. A soul can have its peace removed by the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 17, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. It can happen, but it doesn't have to. The Lord says, great peace have they that love thy law. You love God and His ways and His paths, you're going to have peace. You might not have health, or you might not have money, or you might not have whatever, the things of this world and stuff like that, but you'll have what God wants you to have. And He will take care of you and provide for you very well. But if you love God and you love His Word, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. And the Lord said, "The peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I've asked the Lord literally for that. "Lord, You said that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, I want that peace. And I want to know I have it. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Could you imagine having peace in your heart and peace in your mind? With a peace that cannot be explained, it passeth all understanding. What a wonderful peace to have. A soul can have its peace removed by the Lord, though. And we know why. We know why. And we're going to stop right here with this last one here. And we have more, but we're going to stop right here with this particular one right here and just sew up this lesson and begin on the next one. The last one for today is that a soul can abhor the Lord. Wow. You ever seen anybody that is such a God hater that they abhor God? They abhor the Lord? Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month." This is the Lord speaking. "Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me." Yeah. There's people that just absolutely despise, abhor, and hate God. Hate Him. Now, there's many places in the Bible where the Lord talks about people hating Him. He knows people hate Him. But He also knows them that love Him. Yes, He does. And that's us. We love Him. Don't you love the Lord? We love Him. Yes, we do. Okay, well, we're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters. And let me give you the scriptures for today. And we'll stop right there and we'll pick up on our next lesson and talk some more about a soul in relation to God and His Word. In relation to God and His Word. Here are the scriptures for today. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 103 verse 22. Psalm chapter 104 verse 1 and 35. Psalm chapter 106, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 10. Psalm chapter 97, verse 10. Psalm chapter 121, verse 7. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. Psalm chapter 141, verse 8. Psalm chapter 142, verse 7. Psalm chapter 143, verse 11. Psalms chapter 146, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 29. Psalm chapter 72 verse 13 and 14. Psalm chapter 11 verse 1. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19. Psalm chapter 13 verse 2. Psalm chapter 26, verse 9. Psalm chapter 74, verse 19. Psalm chapter 120, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. Psalm chapter 23, verse 3. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 88, verse 14. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 17. And the last one for today, brothers and sisters, is Zechariah chapter 11, verse 8. And that concludes our study for today. And lots of stuff we learned about the soul that the Bible talks about, isn't it? It's good stuff. It's good stuff. The soul is a living being. It's alive. You, your being, you, the soul. Amen? Well, we'll get into some more things, and we'll talk about some more of this, the soul in relation to God and His Word, and probably wind that up on this next one. And as we do, we wind that up. It'll probably take the entire class next time to finish up this portion. Then we'll go into a part about a soul in relation to sin. A soul in relation to sin. Okay? So learning quite a bit about a soul, and knowing that it's true because we're reading it from the Scriptures, word for word, and comparing Scripture with Scripture. God bless you, and the Lord bless you for honoring His Word, and I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.